The Chris Byrne Show, powered by Dynamic Money, creating personal financial plans built for life.
Hello and welcome to The Chris Byrne Show. It's Sunday afternoon. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta, and I'm confused. I don't know about you. It is a strange time. You look outside, it's gorgeous weather the last few days. Everything feels normal, and yet we all know everything is not normal. We're sitting after this week with now over 30 million unemployment claims. Over 30 million. Could any of us have forecast anything like this 6 months ago, a year ago? Nobody had this kind of a thing in mind. In fact, I was looking back at our shows at the beginning of the year when we talked about the fact that we were still sitting on the lowest unemployment we'd had on record since the Vietnam War, and we were sitting on the longest period of economic expansion ever, and we've seen such a turnaround, and we have this gorgeous weather, and it's Georgia in springtime, we're moving into summer, and yet nothing is the same, even though on the outside, looking out, it just seems beautiful and wonderful, and you're experiencing that too. And so one thing I really want to dig in today is this weird reality that even as we see the economy struggling, even as we see unemployment continuing to rise, the market is rebounding. And so why is that? And is your 401k now out of the woods? Are we in a place now where we can start feeling comfortable? The market's coming up. And so even in the midst of economic turmoil, it's going to be okay. What should you do with that? I want to talk about that. The number is 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK to get in on that conversation. Or if you have any questions related specifically, we've been doing this every week, and I'm glad to continue digging into this for people, to your stimulus check, to small business stimulus, and the different options out there. If you've had a hard experience or you just don't know what's going on because you've applied for something and you haven't seen it come in, I'm glad to dig into those practical questions as well, because the point of this show is to truly not just look at the headlines, at that macro perspective, that 30,000 foot view, as important as that is, and it's critical, and we're about to talk about that a little bit. But even in the midst of doing that, in the midst of looking up and saying, hey, what's going on in the headlines, we have to, on the flip side, turn it around and go, what does that actually mean for you? What does it mean for your specific situation? Because right now, so many of us are walking through micro tragedies. That's the best way to describe it. Where we see, 30 million unemployment claims, and we all understand what that looks like, and it sounds terrible. But then we filter that down to individual stories, and that's where I want this show to be, where you can call in and say, this is how this is impacting me. What do I do to create a better quality of life? What do I do to make my way towards retirement? Because again, it's not just about those large scale news stories that we see out there. It's about how those filter down to your specific situation. So again, that number, 404-872-0750. But this has been confusing for a lot of people. I've gotten a lot of questions about this. I've talked about this with folks. Something I think is hard to understand is this reality that the market has come back up. There is no denying this. In many ways, we've changed dramatically. S&P 500, at its worst, plunged 34%. Okay, so from February 19th to March 23rd, the Wall Street Journal tells us there was a 34% drop in the S&P 500. Unbelievably fast, unbelievably powerful, left a lot of us just feeling like the wind was knocked out of us, going, holy cow, what is this going to mean for our retirement? But since then, since March 23rd, the S&P is actually up 27% from its March low. It's still down 12% for the year. But comparatively, we were at one point going, holy cow, we're almost 35% down on the S&P, and we're already back to within 12% of that last high. That's pretty remarkable. And so a lot of people look at that and go, okay, how does that line up with the reality of the economy right now? Does that mean the economy is doing fantastic? Does that mean things have changed and the economy is coming back and the market is just going along right along with it? And this is where it's so important for us to remember. Please remember this, that anytime you see market data, that is a part of understanding the economy. That is certainly an aspect of what's going on in the economy, but those two are not directly correlated. In other words, the market can do something that the economy doesn't necessarily support, the overall economic numbers. And that's what we see when we go to the experts on this, because the experts are saying the same thing that I'm saying about this level of confusion, all right? Amy Kong, she's the chief investment officer at Barrett Asset Management, large asset manager, says, while it's great Great to see the S&P coming up. We do wonder, quote, what is it that the markets are celebrating? What economic data have we seen that's making the markets go, you know what, it's fine, we're going to come up here? Or as another asset manager, Coombs, Mr. Coombs, is how he said in this article, I'm not paying much attention to the economic forecasts because it's mostly pointing fingers in the air, is what he said. Now, we have gotten some numbers from the economy, and here's what we know. It doesn't look great. How's that for a shocker, right? The economic numbers, the businesses that are starting to give earnings reports, which we're getting this week, unemployment numbers, certainly, all those numbers, what GDP is going to be. First of all, if you go to five different experts or five different banks that do research, you're seeing unbelievable disparity among those answers, where some people are saying it's going to be horrific and other people are saying it's going to come up faster. So no uniform answer, which tells us that we don't have uniform evidence to back it up. Okay. So first of all, we know we don't have the economic data yet to tell you where are we at as a country, where are we at globally, where are we at in the state of Georgia? We just don't have it. We do have some really scary looking news. The reality, again, of 30 million unemployed, which leads us to say, look, the ripples into other industries are going to be significant, and we're already seeing that. Plus what we'll talk about a little bit later on the show, which is the reality that dividends are many, many companies have either decreased dividends or are cutting dividends. We're seeing credit card companies lowering the amount of available credit people can have. We're even seeing major home equity, major banks suspending for a period of time home equity lines of credit. So these massive shifts are happening that we only see in really bad times, and yet the market is raising. So it's two questions. One, where is the economy going? Where is the market going? Am I going to be okay if I invest? That's our first question. But the second question, which is just as important, is what do you do? Because the way you respond to this might be entirely different than your neighbor, might be entirely different than your boss or someone, a coworker or a friend that you talk with about these kinds of things. And you're going, I don't talk with friends about this. That's fine. It might be different though than everyone around you. And you go, well, why is that? Because your situation, your context, everything about the way your future is built is different from the person next to you. And I can tell you after sitting down with so many people from so many different contexts that the advice that you should take right now might be very different than the person next to you. So let's hit those two questions. The first question is, look, where is this going? Should I feel safe and confident stepping back into the market because we've already seen this level of recovery? And the answer, if we're truly going to be intellectually honest from looking at the best research out there, is nobody knows. Nobody knows on a macro level where this is going to go. Nobody knows if we're going to get new information that comes out that causes the economy to go even into a worse place that it's in, that causes the market to be reactive and drop again. Nobody knows. Okay, so there's a very fast answer. We can throw out 100 projections, and I promise if you Google this, you will get 100 projections, all from very intelligent people with incredible amounts of education, and they all disagree. And you know why they disagree? They disagree because nobody has any predictive ability on this. We just don't know what's going to happen. But the second question we can answer, the second question is, well, what should I do then? If I'm not sure what the market's going to do, if I don't know, is it going to keep on going up? Is it going to come back to even? Are we going to end the year positive? Who knows? What should I do? And this is where I think we can give clear direction, because I'm getting calls from a number of folks that are saying, hey, look, the market is coming up. I've heard from my friend's best friend's aunt that this particular stock or this particular sector is a great place for me to invest. And in fact, it may blow up. So I'm wondering, should I put my money into that? And I cannot tell you the amount of people that have come onto the website, that have called into the show, that have said specifically, should I be investing in this sector or in this specific stock right now? Because there's an opportunity here. I can just see it. There's this opportunity for growth right now. And let me just tell you, that kind of thinking is going to get you in trouble. That kind of thinking that says, how do I capitalize right now by looking at what's going on and then making a good selection? Here's why. Even the best investors in the world that spend all of their time looking at the market, that spend all of their time looking at sectors and at different stocks and trying to say, what's the best thing I should invest in? How many of those people said, hey, you know what? I think I see a major problem looming. We're going to see a 35% drop in the S&P this year, at the beginning of the year. You go back for me and give me the list of folks that predicted that correctly, and made economic moves, made moves in their stocks and their holdings to prepare for that. And then I'm glad to listen to your analysis of which sector you should be investing in. But if you can't do that, and let me just give you a hint, you can't. Because no one has the ability to predict. No one has that crystal ball. If you can't do that, the best thing to do right now is not to suddenly become a professional investor and go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a big, significant chunk of what I've saved because there's an opportunity now and the market's down now, and I'm going to put it into this specific sector or this specific stock because I'm sure it's going to come up. That is unbelievably dangerous because you have no idea. It's like playing the lottery. What you need to do is say, hey, look, now is a good time because the overall market is down for me to be invested, but be widely diversified because me, myself, just like everyone else, has no clue what specific sectors are going to take off, has no clue what the market's going to do in the next 6 to 12 months. But I do know this, that if I'm invested, if I'm diversified widely over time, that will work for me. It'll work over time. And if you're close to retirement, that gets a little more tricky. But again, the answer is certainly not if you're close to retirement. Well, therefore, now's the time to really take a gamble on this specific stock, this specific sector. If that's where your mind is at, that is dangerous thinking, and we've got to move in a different direction. Otherwise, our problems could easily outlast this crisis we're dealing with right now.
Follow Chris Burns on Twitter, at CW Burns, for more.
Hey, welcome back to the show. If you want to join us, the number 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So good to have you. We've just been talking about the reality, the confusion that ensues when you go on to any news source. You turn on your computer or you watch any news show at night or just listen to the radio in the morning and you hear these numbers of the market going up, the market's going up, and it ties in our minds directly to, well, that means the economy must be in good shape. And that's understandable given that we just came off of over 10 years of the longest bull market in history where the two did tend to run in tandem all the time. Right? And so we were constantly seeing great economic numbers and at the same time, regularly seeing great numbers from the market. And they do influence each other, obviously. But it's very, very dangerous to sit right now and go, well, the market has steadily been increasing and therefore I'm going to project that forward. Not that it's not going to do that, but just that we don't know. Just like, and I don't want to harp on this, but it's true. Just like nobody knew, nobody planned for a few months ago what we've experienced. And what we've experienced has been truly remarkable historically. And I don't mean that in a good sense. It's been way outside the norm of anything that anyone was planning for. Except that's the reality of life. Who was planning for the Great Recession? And we can go, I don't do this to be annoying. I do it just to make us truly think about our predictive capabilities. Who was planning for the Great Recession in 2008, 2009. No one. Who was planning on this being the issue out of China that would cause devastation across the world economy? We were looking very intensely. We spent numerous shows last year talking about the trade wars between the US and China and the two biggest economies on earth going head to head. And it was out of China that we saw a massive global change come forth, an economic and market disaster in many ways, but it wasn't from trade wars. It was something none of us anticipated. It presents a whole different set of challenges. And so I just say that to say there aren't good examples that you can look back and go, well, yeah, we saw this happen, then we predicted what was going to come, and then we planned for it effectively. No, effective planning is assuming that I don't know what's coming. Because if I don't know what's coming, then I create flexibility. I create the ability to change and to morph and to go in a different direction. It's much like that old saying, you know, do you teach someone to fish? What's the saying? It's better to teach someone to fish than to catch a fish for them. That's not the saying, but it's close to that. And why do you say that? Because if you teach someone to fish, then they're going to be okay long term. The purpose and goal of the plan that you create is not so that you can go, hey, 20 years from now, I see this coming down the road, or 5 months from now. The purpose of that plan is to be able to go, you know what? When the unexpected happens, because I'm assuming the unexpected, I am ready to pivot. I have enough plans in place that I can move and shift and deal with what's coming. Now, we had a person call in over the break with an important question about unemployment benefits because these have changed dramatically, and I want to hit that really quickly. They just asked, hey, look, I'm unemployed currently, or I am employed currently, but I'm being kept under a certain amount of hours. I'm assuming that means your hours have been reduced from what they used to be. And the question is, could I then still qualify for unemployment insurance? And the answer is maybe. How's that for annoying? But that is the answer right now, because we just don't know exactly without knowing all the specifics of your situation. But the PUA program, the expanded eligibility for unemployment, does extend to folks that come back and or have to work a lot less than they used to. So if you used to be full-time and your hours are now reduced dramatically because of the coronavirus, then it's possible that you can apply. And the most important thing to do is just to go through Georgia's system for unemployment, which is easy to find. Then you can know, you can get a clear answer, am I eligible for this extended benefit?
Want more of Chris? Give him a follow on Twitter. At CW Burns.
Welcome back to the show. This is Chris Burns. We are taking all the information you hear at 30,000 feet, all the news of the economy and the stock market, and saying, well, how does that filter down to you and I? How does that come down and actually create real impact on your situation? If you want to join the show, the number is 404-872-0750, or you can call 1-800-WSB-TALK. Would love to engage with you. I've seen an interesting trend here. Talked about it a little bit. I want to talk about it more because it's becoming more of an issue, and I've had people call me about this, and you need to be aware of what's going on. And it goes back, and I in no way mean to brag about this or to make a big deal, but it goes back to what I talk about and yell about and scream about on an ordinary basis, which is the power of having an emergency fund. Now, you would think, for a lot of people, you would think that this is the time, if there was ever a time, to be thankful that you had a whole lot of space on your credit card. So for instance, you have five different credit cards and they all have incredibly high credit spending limits, or even unlimited limits as far as you know, based on the way the card is built. Or you have a home equity line of credit, or you have a line of credit for your business, whatever it is. Now is the time that many of you have been thinking, this is why I have these in place. So I have a fallback. And so it's ironic and it's sad and it's painful for a lot of people right now to wake up one morning, to open up their credit card app or whatever they're using, and to suddenly see that their limit has been reduced, or to get that letter in the mail. And they go, wait a minute, I have good credit. I'm not behind on payments. I haven't done anything wrong. Why in the world are they cutting my credit limit? And the reason they're cutting those credit limits right now, and this is happening to a lot of people, is because banks are looking for ways to reduce their risk. And so sometimes what we forget when we start to do planning for the future is that the bad things that could happen to us also often are happening across the entire economy. And therefore, everyone, including large businesses, are trying to figure out how to cut losses. And that includes large banks, and that includes credit card companies. And that's what we're seeing happen here. Now, I talked to a business owner 2 years ago about this. I remember this conversation so clearly because we were talking about the importance of having an emergency fund, both for him personally and for his business. And as we discussed that, one of the things he said to me is, I'm really not concerned with having it for the business. We have fairly consistent income. Not only that, we have a long-term relationship with our bank. It was one of the large banks, and we have a pretty significant line of credit. So if anything really does go bad, we can always go to that line of credit. And unfortunately, this gives me no joy. We had a conversation in the last few weeks, and guess what's happened to his line of credit? It has been reduced. Not because of anything he did, but because of something entirely out of his control and your control and my control, and that's that the economy overall has been hit by this incredible crisis. Now, some things that hit, let's say it was just in his business. Let's say that he, for some reason, had some major issue in his business, or he had to stop working for a period of time. Having that credit line could come in and save the business, and that would be a great solution. But what happens when the overall economy is struggling and now his credit line gets slashed for no reason at all, other than the fact that the bank wants to limit their liability? Now we could be in trouble, right? And here is the damning thing about this, is that so often the very things that we look at as our safety nets, well, I have that credit card just in case. Well, I have that line of credit just in case. Those are the things that go away when the economy is in bad shape. And people are shocked to find this out often. Let me give you another example. A lot of you right now might be sitting going, you know what? I know if I had to, I could take from my 401k because the CARES Act opened up a lot of options for pulling money from there, but I don't want to because I want to leave funds in there long term for my retirement. But I don't have an emergency fund right now. You know where I do have a lot of money? I have a lot of money in my home. I have a lot of equity. And it's true that right now, if you have a lot of equity in your home and you have good credit and you can get a traditional mortgage, that you could still probably go do a cash out refinance at good rates and get cash out of that. But a lot of folks don't want to do that. And the other option they look at is a home equity line of credit. Many banks are still extending home equity line of credits right now. I say right now, because already one of the largest banks in the country, JP Morgan Chase, has announced they are suspending applications for home equity lines of credit. Now, let's just pause on that for a second. Let's say you live in your house, you have paid down 80% of your mortgage, you have an unbelievable amount of equity built up, and by any and every right, you should, in your mind, be able to walk into a bank and say, hey, look, I'd like to get a HELOC now, I could use the extra cash. Now's the time. And I've been paying down all these years the mortgage to put me in a position to do this. And the bank says, I'm sorry, those aren't available. We're just not offering that. That's not because of anything you did. It's not because you made a mistake. It's because that's the reality. When the economy is constricting at this point, banks are going, we want to have as little liability as possible. We're going to cut our risk down. And so that's often where they go. They start looking at different credit options. And this comes back to why it is so critical to have emergency funds, to have money that's not sitting and reliant on someone else for you to access. Hear this again. The fact that you don't have to rely on anyone else to access those funds. That's what makes emergency funds, or whatever you want to call them, different from all the other things we use as backstops. Now, am I saying if you're a business owner, you shouldn't apply for a line of credit with your bank? Am I saying you shouldn't have credit cards? No, those can be fantastic. Those can be helpful and useful. They can also get us in trouble, as we know, we've talked about, right? They can be great things, but to rely on those as substitutes for emergency funds is deeply problematic, because often the times those are cut or taken away are the very times that we actually would use them. Especially if you're the kind of person that goes, I'm going to apply for this line of credit, I don't think I'd ever need it, because you're very thrifty and you don't use credit and you just wanted to have it there as a backstop. That's great. That makes sense. Just understand that that can go away. Now, what do you do if that goes away? What's the impact of that? Think about this for a second. You're just a regular person. You've got one credit card or two credit cards you use. You pay them off every month, and suddenly you wake up and your credit line has dropped dramatically. And that's how you do all of your spending. You do it on your credit card and you pay it off every month. And you go, what in the world? And you call your bank. And the first thing to do is call the bank. Now, expect long hold times right now. But let's say you get through to your bank and your bank says to you, we're sorry, we just can't increase this. You need to understand, this is not a justice issue. This is not a you did something wrong issue for many people, though sometimes if you're a high-risk lender, you're going to be the first one they're going to cut. That's understandable. Okay, but you could be perfectly, have a great credit history, and this can still happen to you. Do you know why? Because in the fine print of your contract, the credit card company or the bank, depending on who you're working with, has unbelievable power to do this without asking any questions. With very little notice at all, they can change this. In other words, any sort of credit that you have, right? Any credit that you have, you are now reliant on a third party, and that third party has power over what happens to that credit line. Just like you might get a letter in the mail saying that your mortgage has been sold to a different mortgage company, right? They might not be able to change the terms of your mortgage, but it's been sold to no company. Why? Because you have no power over that. And that's okay. But this is where it's so important, especially in times of economic turmoil. And it'd be great if we all thought about this when the world was wonderful and when unemployment was low and we had a great job and the money was pouring in or whatever. But often we don't think about it till this happens. But now's a great time to think about, what does this actually look like? How do I prepare for this? Well, just think about it this way. If your credit line is reduced, how can that hurt you? Well, one way that can hurt you is the reality that your credit, your actual credit score can go down. Why? Because you might maintain the same balance. Maybe you have $2,000 on a credit card and you had a $5,000 limit. Okay, but then they cut your limit down to $2,500. Suddenly, you have a far higher percentage of your limit that you're using, and you go, whoa, 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 I didn't do anything. I didn't cut the credit line. I haven't changed anything. It doesn't matter. The math says you're now using, because of their decision, which they have the contractual right to do, you are now using a higher amount of your available credit, and that can ding your credit score. And so you get ticked off, and you go, you know, forget it. If you're going to drop my credit, I'm going to close this account. I'll just close that credit card account. This happened to a good friend of mine who was so angry that his credit was reduced that he just called the company on the spot and said, forget it. He paid off the card, closed the account, except he didn't realize that the credit card companies are also looking for available credit overall and length of credit history. This happened to be his oldest card. It was the card he got right when he got out of college, which is probably part of why he was so offended. And yet because of that, when he closed the card, that took off, that shortened his credit history. Because the moment you close a credit card, it's as if it didn't exist for your credit history purposes. So now that's dinged twice. He's dinged because his credit limit was lower, so he's using a higher available credit limit. And then he got so angry, he closed the card, that dinged his credit again. So you remember that your credit is, unfortunately, and I hate this, it's a game. I can't tell you how many people, a good friend of mine, we went back and forth on Twitter the other day, because she was saying, I just don't understand it. I don't understand why I made a good decision, in her case, closing a credit card she didn't need after paying off the debt that she had. I made a good decision, and I'm looking now, my credit's hurt. And that's because what is healthy on the one hand doesn't translate into what makes your credit score go up. And so two things you need to know out of this. One is, don't be surprised if credit limits are dropped. The best thing you can do about that is be wise right now. And if you only have one card, for instance, open up another card. Try to find a 0% card so that if you have to, you can do a balance transfer. You want to ideally keep your overall credit at 30% or less of what your, you want to keep your balance at 30% or less of your overall credit limit. So if you're above that 30% mark, I would strongly consider figuring out a way around that. But just understand, the banks may reduce your credit even if you're doing everything right. And don't make rash, reactive decisions to try to make it better at that point, because there's a very good chance there's nothing you can do about that. Okay, remember that it's a game. And so to understand that game, you got to dig deeper into, okay, what can I do to respond right now that is the best possible thing for me, but doesn't further hurt my credit? Because the last thing you need in the middle of a global pandemic is to see your credit score reduced dramatically because the bank does something you don't like, then you become reactive. And in the end, guess who gets left holding the bag and the bad credit score and struggling in the future? It's you. So make sure you understand the impact of anything you do, because the banks have no problem working in their best interest. It's all about you being the best advocate you can for yourself, understanding the rules, and doing what's in your best interests to get through the next few months.
Get Chris's daily email to stay up to date on all financial news by signing up at dynamicmoney.com.
So how often do you actually read the fine print? I just got a question on Twitter from somebody who said, how in the world could a bank do that? How could a bank lower my credit limit without any forewarning at all? And here's the reality. How often do you get that notice from Apple, if you're an Apple person, with your iPhone, your computer, or anywhere else? And certainly your bank accounts and credit cards. Are you the kind of person that sits there and reads the 87 pages of fine print? And the answer is, for most of us, no. In fact, they make it easy for us and just say skip to the bottom and you click yes, I agree, and you're done. And often we don't realize the amount of power that we're handing over. And by the way, I'm not saying therefore what you need to do from here on out is read all the fine print, because that would drive you crazy. What I'm trying to tell you is that often you have far less control than you realize. And unfortunately, the time that we find this out is in these kinds of situations. And let me give you a story from my life about this. Before all this COVID stuff started, before things got bad and the world, the economy was still looking good and everything else, my bank made a mistake. My bank did something that was problematic. I went to the bank and it took me about a week of wrangling with them to get the mistake fixed. And I worked with 5 different people from this large bank that I was a part of. And I won't give their names so I don't get sued on the air, but a very large bank that I was working with. And guess what? They helped me figure that out. Back at that point, multiple people were involved. And then a few weeks ago, in the midst of the COVID problem, I suddenly see a massive fee on my bank statement. I have no idea what the fee is from. I start calling the bank and going, what's going on here? And they said, oh, well, the fee is related to this. And I find out that in the fine print of my contract, all those people helping me came at a cost, even though not one of the people mentioned it. And it was actually from a bank mistake. So the bank made a mistake. I called to get help. All the people that ended up coming in and helping, there was a significant cost attached to that, even though it was a bank's mistake. And I'm still embroiled with the bank trying to figure that out because I didn't read the fine print. And again, the answer is not that I need to go read the fine print necessarily, though some of you are those kind of people and have at it, friends. But the answer is just the reality that often, especially with big banks, there isn't a person that I can go talk with and say, why is this happening, and have them explain it to me. In fact, in my case, I remember this is maybe the most frustrating part to me, as I'm calling to try to figure out what's going on, why is there this fee, I was hung up on twice, just straight hung up on. And a lot of you have experienced this. If you've tried to figure out what's going on with my credit card, my home equity line, my business line, my payment, the PPP loan that I put in, my stimulus check, all these things that you're waiting on and you're expecting, and you make these phone calls and you might sit for hours on hold, or if you do get through, then suddenly the line goes dead and it's like, oh, what do I do? And I totally get that. And here's the key. We have to, again, build plans, build foundations that aren't reliant on third parties. We utilize third parties, but we have an emergency fund, a plan that's outside of that. So we're ready for the unexpected. We don't have to rely on these people to make it okay for us. Friends, that's the time we have today. You can always go to dynamicmoney.com. If you have a question that we haven't answered today, make sure to hit that up. But just remember this, please, that in the midst of all this craziness, your life and your future are so much more than money. And I hope you have a great week.